Legendary guy in the broadcasting field, and did a great job at the Touchdown Club a couple years ago. Roger, I've been doing it for 20 years, and Tim Brando was one of my favorites in 20 years. He's got so much depth and knowledge. His career is so broad. And yet he's a fascinating guy. He knows so much about everything.
You know what?
He's a showman. He's a showman like his dad was.
Well, that's what I want to know. You know what? I know a little bit more about Tim. I want to know more about his dad in the vaudevillian. I want to know, did he know George Cohan? Was he out there with Liza? Any of those things?
Tim Brando joins us. Morning, Tim. How are you, man?
I'm wonderful, fellas. Great to be with you. And I'm glad that the weather is backed off a little bit. I hurried back from Las Vegas. I was working the Crown for Fox. Early in the week, last week at this time, Monday and Tuesday, and then I came back home on a red eye, and I just beat the storm. I mean, I think the flight from Vegas to DFW, and then from DFW to Shreveport was in record time because it was pushing. It was pushing hard, and I got home, and we battened down the hatches here at Trace, and fortunately for us, it was more of just a little bit of a rain event here than a wind event. We had some flooding in certain parts of North Shreveport above I-20, but I-20 and south, we were saved a little bit. So, but you know, our golf course doesn't know if it's spring or winter. You know, it's it got down to I think 48 or 47.
Yeah.
Last night, but hey, it'll warm up. And the good news about being living where we do is when it gets hot, it gets really hot.
Sure.
And it'll dry it all up, and really, it kind of turns the golf course really nice and green. So. Well, it's going to be pretty, and I can't wait to get out there. It's Masters week, so I've got my mind on that right now. I really do. That and, of course, tonight.
Have you we'll get to tonight in a second. Going back to the Masters, have you worked the Masters from a broadcast standpoint, number one?
I have.
Number two, have you played it as well?
Yeah. You know, I worked it for 4 years on Masters.com on the digital side, and if you're a golf hack, I mean, if you're a golfaholic, and I am. I had watched it for years digitally because that was the only way you could get the morning round.
Right.
Because it's not televised nearly enough, in my mind. It's probably, but that's the way the Masters people want it. They want it to be exclusive. They want it to be a big deal. But Billy Payne, when he was in charge of the Green Jackets, the old Georgia tight end, wonderful guy, real close friends with Vince Dooley, who of course I worked with in his first year out of coaching. Billy played tight end for him in the mid-60s. He really brought the 21st century approach of digital streaming television in, and I worked it with Scott McCarron on feature groups, and it was an all-day deal. It was 12 hours of calling golf shots, and I had a blast. I mean, people ask me all the time, do you miss CBS, and what about CBS do you miss most? Honestly, I miss working the Masters on digital more than I do the NCAA basketball tournament. It was like being in heaven.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, if you're a golf aficionado, and I like to think of myself as being
you
one.
Are. Yeah.
It was just, and I did some 18th tower work for CBS when Nance didn't work. It's a tough nut to crack. Golf is a very tough nut to crack as a broadcaster. If you are not a former player or a coach or an architect, I mean, that's what they want on the air.
Yes, yes.
And I mean, they usually have really one solid broadcaster. Now they'll use, and they always have used, you know, until this year and last year, Byrne had 16. They'll use Andrew Catalan, who replaced me. And Andrew's done a great job on 14 and a great job on the NCAA tournament. Had I stayed at CBS, I probably would have been a part of what they were doing these days. So I do miss my association with the Masters and getting to go there. You would leave from the Final Four, go directly to the tournament, and hang out. They had we stayed in homes that were rented out by the network because there aren't enough hotels, you know, in Augusta. There just aren't. So we would all bunk in together. All the broadcasters would share houses that were rented out that people genuinely, you know, look forward to doing every year in Augusta, you know, for people coming in from out of town, whether it's players or coaches or broadcast networks are coming in, and, you know, they would rent out their homes and open them up for us. It was really a lot of fun.
Yeah, we just got through playing the Vern Lundquist call on 16. I think 2005, I guess, was the year, and he was at the Touchdown Club a few years ago, and it just one of those, as you know, it just he just handled that perfectly. Pick the right time to, you know, give an iconic line, and it lives forever. I mean, it's just a...
Vern was never on the 18th tower, and yet I would argue, and Nance is a friend of mine. I love Jim. We're good pals. I'm happy for him tonight. He's rooting hard for Houston, and I am too, actually.
Right.
I wish them nothing but the best, but Vern's had arguably as many or greater opportunities to make calls and has hit the mark perfectly every time. I think I remember Vern's calls more than anybody's calls at the Masters. And he's on 16, for Christ's sake. So that just tells you something about the man and what a wonderful influence he was on all of us of my generation.
Before we give you a chance to talk about tonight's game, let's talk about the Razorbacks. Obviously, the year's been pretty special. Sort of didn't start off that way with Cal. I mean, the expectations were really high, Tim. And then they came crashing down pretty quick, and it got really ugly. And then just when you thought they were dead, you know, as he said, they forgot to put the nails in the coffin, and they come back. And really, I mean, should have been playing Florida in the Elite Eight, you know, a 16-point lead against Texas Tech. What was your view of what Cal did this year and his impact with the Razorback program and maybe the future where they go with him from here?
Well, I thought he would be very successful because he's been nothing but successful. But basketball today is a lot different than it was, you know, when Arkansas flourished, when Nolan had it rolling. I mean, right. it was a different sport back then. And I think that fans, particularly college basketball fans in major college basketball communities, they are, for the most part, from my generation and maybe 10 to 15 years younger. Most of the people that are solid fans that contribute to the university, mm-hmm. you know, they're in their 50s and 60s. And there's this need to kind of wake up echoes and have it be the way it used to be. And mm-hmm. and it's not going to be like that anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not. The game has changed. The times have changed.
Right.
And part of that is the evolution of teams in a single year will change dramatically from November when they begin to play, which in my opinion is still way too early, until we get into late February and March when the conference tournaments are getting started. These teams evolve, and they either evolve in a positive or negative direction. And a lot of that has to do with the players are new. I mean, it's a completely reconstructed roster.
Right.
They've not played together. They got to get used to one another. Then they have to overcome the adversity of losing guys. And then once they lose them, finding a way once they get them healthy again to blend them back in so that there is chemistry with the other guys who've maybe been without them for, you know, 4 or 5 games. And that can be a challenge as well. Calipari is he knows what he's doing. And I think that in today's world, fans have to just understand that, you know, the finished product is the product that matters the most. Doing what you have to do to get in. And this was also a historic year to be in a first-year situation building a program. I mean, the SEC had an historic season.
Right,
14, I mean, it was unbelievable. To get a road win was like pulling teeth every time you went out. So, I mean, that was as crazy as it sounds, Arkansas was an overachieving team in a very large way. And if you look at what Texas Tech, I know people are saying that Duke is choked it up the other day. That wasn't a choke. That was a team. Houston deserved that win. They busted their gut to get that win and played a magnificent game. And yet these drive-by media types that don't know a damn thing, nor do they care a damn bit about college athletics, will tell you that it was a choke job. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. Texas Tech was an awesome basketball team that played a very strong physical game, somewhat similar to Houston, really. And they came back from a large deficit to win. You know, losing big leads today in a college game, everybody does.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Everybody does. So that happens. But I thought when Boogie Flan came back, got it rolling, and then the performance that they had to have to win that game. Listen, I had St. John's three times this year, and Pitino deserves to be National Coach of the Year. Mm-hmm. They caught St. John's at a time when the Johnnies didn't shoot it as well, but they were prone to that. They were not a particularly great shooting team. And when you see a team like that, though, that has as much power inside as the Johnnies had, and Arkansas was up to making the plays to win that game, that should tell you something, okay? And I think you can build off this season. I think getting as far as they did in the second weekend is probably – that should meet your expectations in the end. Yeah, it might have been a bumpy ride to get there. But my goodness.
Yeah, I think so.
In your first year, you get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, you bet.
I'd say he met expectations.
Oh, starting with an 0-5 start at that. I mean, it's not just getting to the Sweet 16. He was 0-5 in conference. Never been done before.
Yeah,
that's right.
The old Must teams, now they were, up until his final season, they were always coming back from even large deficits.
They were doing the opposite. They were fighting back.
They were always fighting back from 20 down all the time. There were several years with him on that. Well, Tim, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is because you think, and I'm biased, Pitino gets coach of the year, co-coach of the year, because of what you just said a second ago, which was that the Razorbacks overachieved and not Pitino? Calipari?
No, I think Pitino had an unbelievable year in the Big East, which is the media capital of college basketball, still is. Look, fellas, I for 42 years I did conference tournaments that were, you know, the SEC, the ACC. I did the last Southwest Conference Championship in 96 when Nance was called away to go do an NCAA tournament selection special, and I went to Reunion Arena to close down that league. I've done all kinds of conference tournaments, including the ACC until 2019 when Raycom Sports finally closed shop. But there is no better conference tournament than the one at the Garden. Madison Square Garden for the Big East tournament is the best environment you'll ever find. And they were riding a high the whole season. You know, they really didn't have any slip-ups.
Okay.
In a league that had UConn, the two-time defending champion, St. John's was the kingpin, and everybody around the country knew about it. Arkansas was in the most competitive league, and what I thought really came to fruition in that game was, as good as the Big East traditionally has been, and they got five teams in this year, they were nowhere close to the SEC when it came to overall competition that you had to play week in and week out.
Right.
And I mean that, and Arkansas's battle-tested schedule from being in the SEC meant that there was no athlete on the floor for St. John's that was going to give them any more trouble than the ones they had already faced in the Southeastern Conference.
That's right.
That's the thing that jumped out at me about that game. You know, Cal, if we were voting now, Cal would probably get a lot more votes.
Sure.
Don't you think?
Sure.
Those votes, and it's like. Like these college football awards, many of them. Okay, I really think as a Heisman voter, I would rather wait till it's all over.
You bet. You bet.
Absolutely.
I mean, I really.
That's why I thought exactly when the voting took place and all that. But I will bow down to your expertise.
Well, Tim, the one thing I love about Tim, you've got so much knowledge in that brain of yours. I mean, there's so much going on in there. I mean, there's you have so much. One of the things too, Roger, I don't think I've ever seen a guy. And you're just a few years older than us, just a few. But your social media content, holy mackerel. I think you told me you had some assistance with that a little bit. But the pictures the pictures that you post, I mean, I wish I had – I mean, you're bringing up stuff from 5 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 5 years ago. I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of content that you put out there and the history that you have in broadcasting. I was going to bring up. You're talking about tonight in Houston – I was playing football at Arkansas, and I got a chance to watch Phi Slamma Jamma the last time they were in the Final Four. When they would come, to Barnhill Arena, and our good buddy Joe Klein, who jumps on the show with us every week, he was fighting Olajuwon, and then of course I look up, and there's Olajuwon hugging everybody afterwards. So it's amazing, that Houston is back, and that you got to just give it up for Kelvin Sampson. What he remember, Roger, he was. He was in the mix for the job before, you know, and I think he passed on it and must end up getting it. But
well, I think Juracek had a connection there, obviously.
Yeah, obviously he'd been at Houston. Yeah. But, yeah, it's great for Houston, like you said, to see them back. But that's where my mind goes to, Tim, back to those 80s, you know.
Well, I wish that they had had phones with cameras in them, you know, in the 80s and the 90s.
Yes.
I'd have even more wonderful pictures to show you. Every now and then, it's funny though because of social media, and I know a lot of the guys that do what I do either aren't as active or certainly don't engage with fans on media. I do. I think that now to a point, if they get out of if they go a little berserk on me, I'll block them.
Sure.
I'll get rid of them.
You bet.
I've got it's like I look at social media as like being social in your neighborhood. You know, if there's a guy that says, hello, how you doing to you, you're going to talk to him, right? If there's a guy that just walks right past you, I don't care to ever speak to him again. You know, so if somebody's a blank hole to me on social media, I'll just say, well, you know what? This conversation's over. See ya. You'll not engage with me again.
There you go.
But I do like finding out and engaging with those that just want to have conversation. And as a result, what happens from time to time, and especially this time of year, David, somebody will say, and there's even a site on X now, or what used to be Twitter, this day in sports history. And during March, my God, will post Tim Brando on the call on this date in 2010, you know, or 2008. And it takes me back. It yes. takes me back. And it reminds me of how fortunate and how privileged I was to have had the life and career that I've had. But I'm also a classic Italian Southern hoarder. You know, I've always like my attic is filled with old boards from I got a game that I did with Baylor in Arkansas in '89 in football when they were honoring the great Charlie Jones, who just went into the National Sports Media Association Broadcasting Hall of Fame, was just announced this past year. He was being honored that day, Fort Smith Zone.
How about that?
And Vince Dooley and I are there to do the game when Hatfield was coaching. And Baylor was pretty good, too. They weren't a bad team. And we were doing a CFA game. And I remember it vividly, okay? And there's some old pictures that were maybe taken at ESPN that are sent to me. And I try to hold on to them. And my daughter is really good.
Yeah,
my daughter Tiffany.
Yeah.
She's really good with graphics and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think that many times moving ahead and forging ahead is one thing, but also having knowledge and context of history is something else. And people get a kick out of that when
you bet.
Have those conversations with them. I don't care if you're a fan of Nebraska, Arkansas, you know, Texas, whatever. You have those moments, whether it's even in college baseball, it comes up because I did Sunday night college baseball when Norm DeBrien was coaching at Arkansas.
Yeah, you bet.
I go that far back with all those sports, and it's
what about the Braves?
Back great memories.
What about the Braves, Tim? When were you?
Well, 94, 5, and 6. So I had the strike year. You know, the Sunday, August 11th, Black Sunday. When baseball ended and we all thought it would come back and it never did. And then in 95, I was able to work alongside Ernie Johnson Sr., Ernie Johnson Jr.'s dad. Ernie Jr. and I are the same age. We're both 69. Mm-hmm. And his dad was a wonderful man. And I worked the middle innings with him on games that were on Sports South, the games that weren't on TBS. We did about 50 games a year for 3 years. In 95 when they won the World Series, and then in 96 when they lost to the Yankees after getting two games up on them in 96. So, and that was right before that year was also the year that I left Turner and then went on to CBS, did my first NCAA tournament in 1996. And then, as they say, the rest is history with regard to the SEC on CBS and the NCAA tournament on CBS and all the work I did there for 18 years before going to Fox.
If you just joined us, you were visiting with Tim Brando, one of the greats to do it with a mic. If you had to rank them, Tim, 1, 2, 3, your favorite sport to broadcast, and you've done them all. We just went through a one, two, three. What would it be?
It's a tie.
Okay,
I know that's
okay. I'll let you have that. Go ahead.
It's a 1A. Okay, I'm never more excited than I am in the fall when you're getting ready for that first college football game. Okay, I'm never more excited than when we're getting ready for college football, for toe to meet leather and football to begin. Yet I'm always, and you know me well enough and know my history with regard to the postseason of college football, by the time we get to late November and December, now it's better now because we do have the 12-team format, but we still got a lot wrong with the way that college football ends. And that's another show for another day. I could give you an hour on that.
Yep.
But by the time we get to the end of football, I'm so pissed off at the way it's ending, the way teams are being treated, how unsettled I always am about the way college football ends. And it's like a breath of fresh air when basketball begins.
Right.
Because I know at the end of college basketball, we're going to get it right.
Right.
The national tournament. The NCAA basketball tournament remains, in my mind, the greatest 3 weeks in sports in our country. This week, I missed the Final Four for only the fourth time since 1981. My wife was a little under the weather, and as I said, the weather was coming. So I didn't, I was supposed to be back in San Antonio and emceeing the, I always emcee the National Association of Basketball Coaches Champions Brunch. I've done that for the last 20-some years.
Wow.
Mr. Gowdy, my mentor, Kirk Gowdy, used to do that, and I've done it all these years.
Yeah,
and
that's
always been my ticket to go back. And I would also host some symposiums that the NABC would put on, their national convention was going on during the Final Four. But basketball and football is so tied to my success as a broadcaster. Without Dale Brown's teams in 81, 82, and my association with college basketball and Tiger Vision, which was their broadcasting arm of LSU basketball when cable was first born during the 80s, I wouldn't have gotten the jobs that I got doing the Metro Conference and the SEC and the ACC and all of that. So I love the sports history and even its currency. College basketball is a sport where you can fly in the day of a game, go to a shoot around, meet with the coaches, come back in a couple of hours and call the game.
Yeah.
Which is, as you know, so different from football. You go through such a regiment in football where you're going through an operations guy now and an SID. And you hope you can go to practice and you have to visit with both coordinators for both teams. So you're a bit regimented in football now. Access is not as easy as basketball. But I love them both equally. I really do. When the game starts, it's like being the captain of an airplane, taking it up to a 35,000 feet and getting to put it on cruise control and have the time of your life.
Sure.
People tell me that's why pilots are pilots, is because they get such a rush taking the plane up. Well, I feel the same way in the air, especially with college football and college basketball. So it's a tie with those two. Now, I would tell you, the next for me is golf.
Okay.
I wish I could have done more. I wish I could have done more because I know the game. If you know what not to say, you're a better golf commentator, and I know what not to say.
Right.
And but that I had a blast doing that. I just wish in my career I could have gotten to do more.
Well, I tell you, Tim, you were I was talking with Roger. Roger's a really didn't get a chance to meet Roger when you were speaking at the Touchdown Club. But Roger is he's an actor. He's been in movies. He can sing. Can do it all. I tell Roger and I talk. I said, Tim's a showman, just like your dad. We learned about your dad, and of course you've been a DJ before.
Right.
You're a showman, and it's you love telling stories, and I just think you're a very fascinating guy. And I appreciate you jumping on with us. I'd love to stay in touch with you more often. But I do want to ask real quick, go ahead and give us who wins tonight. Go ahead and tell us who wins tonight.
Well, why not, if you've already done what they've done, right?
Yeah.
And that was a Herculean. I'm going to tell you, I don't think there was a game more compelling in the semifinals of the Final Four.
Yeah. Right.
Really since Duke did to Vegas in 91 what Houston did to Duke.
Right.
You know, the other day. I mean, it was essentially the same kind of game. Now Houston was not playing a team that had won 45 in a row and was the defending national champion. You know, and Duke wasn't undefeated, but they were down, seemed to be out, and they never gave up, and they came back and made plays to win. There was nothing fluky about what they did. They won it because of the tenacious defense that they always play with. It was a victory. I thought what Barkley said at the end of the game, that was a victory of will.
Yeah,
over skill.
I saw. Yeah, it was a great line by Barkley.
I thought that was a great line. Yep. I like them tonight. I think if you win a game like that, David and Roger, you win a game like that, and it's almost your destiny to win. And really, from a matchup standpoint, Florida is a lot better. We all know that.
Yeah.
I mean, Clayton has been the best player in this tournament.
Right.
In fact, Houston might win the national championship, and Clayton's been so good through the entire tournament. If he gets 30, he's going to be the most outstanding player, whether he wins or loses, I think.
Based on
the performances that he's given to this point, he's been the best guard that this tournament's seen in a long, long time. But I'm going to go with Houston. I just think and if I sound a little biased, maybe so, but I've known him for such a long time. Kelvin's such a great guy, such an outstanding coach. By the way, he's a left-handed golfer, and he's good. He can take your money on the golf course. I've played golf with Kelvin. He is. And, you know, next year Fox begins, we'll be doing some Big 12 basketball to go along with the Big East and Big 10. So maybe I'm even rooting for him from that standpoint, too. So, but I like them. I'm going to go with Houston tonight.
Roger, this guy, I think he could go another 40 years doing it. He's got energy, unbelievable energy that never ends. He appreciates history, and he's a showman.
Absolutely.
He's a showman.
Big
he gets,
fan of the
he,
showman
he gets
part.
It. Yeah. Tim, thanks as always, my friend, and maybe we'll get you on down the road. Hoping the Hogs will be a little bit better in football. I'm a little concerned about that. We'll reach out to you maybe around football season.
Well, I'd love to come back on anytime, David, and I'd love to speak to your group again. Just let me know.
We're gonna get you back, my friend.
And I've got about 45 to 50 less pounds for you to see.
I know.
So
that's why
I
sent him the pictures of him doing the two-step on the stage.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, I'm 50 pounds lighter now.
Nice.
So that three-piece suit.
Yeah.
Three-piece suit fits better now.
Way to go.
That stage won't be moving as badly as it did.
Well done. I need to get some tips from you then, man. I need to lose 50 myself. So, listen.
That and makeup and Just for Men will help you out for a long and enduring
Just for Men. Listen, I hope your wife, Terry, gets feeling better. And appreciate you squeezing us in, Tim. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, fellas. Yeah, and Roger, he's right. I should have been on the stage, really.
I can't wait to see you again. Absolutely.
See you, man.
All right.
Thanks, Tim.
Take care. Bye-bye.